then describe to me the kind of immortality you're referring to. Are you suggesting then that we live on in the sense that our ideas live on?
In the sense that we live on as, see, so what happens then is that because the way we know is through our senses, that that we wouldn't have anything in our minds if it wasn't for our senses. What we do is we abstract things from our senses. The first time, the first time we see a cat, we watch the cat, and we get the idea of catness. But unless we had seen a cat, we wouldn't have the idea.
Right.
So once our soul gets disconnected from our body, we have no way of knowing anything new. So we're stuck with whatever we already knew.
Or dead.
That's what I mean, when we're dead.
Okay, so...
when our soul is separated from our body, in other words, dead.
Yes.
In other words, we're just that non-material aspect of ourselves, which people call the soul.
Uh-huh.
Then we can't, by our own nature anyway, know anything else.
So...
and indeed, we don't even know anything specific, because it's only through the senses that we know specific things. That's
okay.
Another distinction between ideas and material things is through our senses we know this specific coldness.
Okay, then consciousness does not continue to exist.
Consciousness does continue to exist, but only of ideas which are general, as opposed to sensorial knowledge which is specific. So I won't. So in that state, I wouldn't know this specific cat, but I would know the general idea of catness. Because if you think about the ideas...
But would you continue to know the general idea of catness after you had physically died?
Yes. You would.
You
would, because you already have that idea, and that's an immaterial thing. But the specific cat is a material thing connected with the particular way it affected your senses.
But in what manner is that information conveyed, since the synapses, the physical stuff, is all gone?
Because we just already showed that it can't be... that is a non-material operation. Actually, the actual knowing is a non-material operation, although to get it there, it involves the physical. The actual act of knowing, that final point you get to, is a non-physical thing. So the actual act of knowing the catness is independent. So you would keep knowing the catness, but you would not have the sensorial knowledge. You would not have the memory of the specifics to correlate it to, so you wouldn't have any general knowledge, any specific knowledge of that cat. You would forget your pet cat. You would just know the general idea of catness.
Do you think that any of this could account for what people call ghosts?
Before we get into that, if you don't mind, go back a second, because I remember you there was somebody talking to you. I think we're talking to somebody who was born blind.
Yes,
and was not able to. Dream and vision.
That's correct.
And that's what happens without that sense. You never get that idea. You never get those images, and you never get ideas about color.
Quite right. You can't know. Yes, of course, you can't know.
And so you can't know, and so when you dream, you wouldn't dream because you don't have that information in your mind.
Understood.
And so when the soul is separated from the body,
yes,
you lose part of who you are.
Well, you lose additional sensory input of any sort, right?
You lose all additional input, but I'm just saying the way we are made is to know through our senses, and so all we know is what we already have, and even there we only know the general, because the intellectual side, as opposed to the sensorial side, is general. So I have when I'm thinking, I get a general idea of the thing, and that's how I proceed, through the general to the general, and then I have to go from the general to the specific. So this is why... all children start out calling all men father,
mm-hmm.
As Aristotle points out. By the way, Aristotle did all this stuff in the 3rd century B.C. It's just that we've lost it. This is not new stuff I'm bringing out here.
Right.
But the reason that you would lose this is because it's through the senses we know this specific. Now to get to your question about, you know, I'm really not... into this area as all as you can imagine, but I would tend to think that this is not the case, because the physical, the way we act is through our bodies, and we don't have our bodies anymore, so there's no way for us to act. The way that human soul acts as we know it by personal experience is, if I want to pick up a book, I go and pick it up. But if I don't have my body, there's no way for me to act except in my mind.
Yes. Well... there you are.
Yeah.
Why exclude that as a possibility? If if something still exists with memory only of Katniss and everything else that it knew, but no new input, how can you rule out the possibility that that is in some way expressed in what we call a ghost, which is not necessarily a physical being?
I don't think I can completely rule it out. I would agree with you. But I but what I'm saying is the likelihood, because of the fact that the soul is associated with a particular human body, and everything we know is that the soul, that soul acts only through a particular body and can only act, do anything through that body. If I want to pick up a book, I'm not going to, if I want to do something and I really want to get it done, I'm not going to say I'm going to sit here and think about it. I got to get up and go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no reason to think. While it's true, I can't rule it out as far as I can see. There's no reason to think it. And I think that's kind of what we have to go by. I mean, if somebody asked me to prove there's not an invisible man sitting on the floor next to me, that'd be a very hard thing for me to do. I can only give lots of reasons why I think it's not the case.
All right. Do you think there is a God?
Yes, definitely. That's another thing that you can prove.
By all means, let's prove it.
Okay. I want to sort of put a caution out there. These are deep ideas, and they take a while. I don't talk about God until chapter 8 in my book.
Well,
because it takes a while to get to. But let's do the shortcut like we did.
Sure.
Just as long as we have the warning out there that you know, don't, for people not to get frustrated, because there's lots of thinking that goes on here. Aristotle was a first-class genius, and he did this too, by the way. And you don't get these ideas just at a moment's notice. They got to be thought about and melded over and, you know, kind of go through the book slowly and absorb it, because it's all really cool stuff. But the simplest way to see it is to note that, you know, that everything you see, everything is in motion in the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
And every motion is caused by something that moves it.
Mm-hmm.
And something must in turn move that. And on and on. Now, somebody might say, well, maybe it just goes on to infinity. Well, on to infinity is just a way of pushing the question out so I don't have to worry about it. It would be like a lawyer saying an infinite number of bad arguments makes one good argument. Of course, it's not true. So you have to come to some point which you say, well, there must be a mover that is not itself moved in any way and must be in completely actual and not in any sense potential.
God.
Because that's God. If it had any potentiality to it, in other words, if it could move, it would move, and then it would need something to move it.
So because of what we are able to know we are, there has to be a God.
Yes. Because of what we know is here, we have to say there must be a God, or otherwise what we have here isn't here, and it is.